This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson's sports talk show.
Let's do this thing.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
I'm not familiar with rap. Give me Hendrix any day and I'll go from there.
According to Jim is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
Bullpups win! Bullpups win! Bullpups win it in overtime!
The Chiefs.
Butker's kick is up! It is right down the boulevard! And Harrison Butker kicks some, you know what!
College football and college basketball.
Eight to shoot, Hall, the runner! Loose ball! It's good! The slipper still fits!
And everything else happening in the sports world.
And the Bullpups walk it off here at McPherson Stadium! This place is going crazy!
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim here on 96.7 FM KBBE or online worldwide at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner, and joining me as always, Mr. Steve Sell, the most popular man in McPherson. Steve, we're running into this dead time for us. And when I talk about us, I mean us sports people, us sports reporters. After tonight, we've got 2 weeks of no Bullpup basketball. Now, the first couple of days, I think we might kick back, pop our feet up on the sofa at night and go, this is kind of nice. But after that first week, we will both be tapping our foot and ready to get back and going, because we can't go too long without the thrill of watching some basketball and talking about it at the same time.
Well, exactly. And I'm actually going to be gone most of after Christmas, so I'm not sure what we're going to do for the show. I'm sure you will come up with something. I'm sure
we'll just collapse.
Well, I'm sure Casey would like to be on.
Casey might have to fill in.
You know, Casey Sunshine. She might be on. You never know. You might have a guest. You know, Coach Kinnaman or Coach Strathman or Coach Kretzer or somebody.
Here.
Yeah, somebody like that, I'm sure will come in. And I might be able to even slip in. You know, my plan is after Christmas, I'm going to take a week. I've, you know, basically taken about 3 days off all year because Bullpup sports, you know,
never stop.
They never stop. But before we get going, I do have to give a shout out to Janice and Terry Lacey. I mentioned this morning with Mark, but Terry Lacey brought me in some of his wife's lasagna.
How was that?
Hey, I think they could open their own lasagna
Ooh.
Shop because I stuffed myself, and I tell you, I was a content man. Throw in a little Sister Schubert hot rolls with butter on them. Oh, it doesn't get any better than that. So special thanks to Janice Lacey and Terry Lacey, and very much appreciated. So if you see them out in public, say, hey, I hear you make a pretty mean lasagna, and that, boy, it was It was really good.
I could go for a little lasagna today. Maybe it's not in the right rules with my pregame meal before the games tonight, which we will talk about a little bit later on in the show. We will talk about everything that's going on tonight, but one thing I wanted to open up with is what was the biggest headline in the sports world last night, and that was Kobe Bryant getting not one, but two jerseys retired by the Los Angeles Lakers. And Kobe Bryant is one of the first players for me that I was alive for almost the entire duration of his really good career. Now, LeBron James will be that way because whenever LeBron came into the NBA, I was 8 years old. So I remember everything about LeBron. I don't really remember the early Kobe days. But Kobe, in his prime, that was my entire life and my entire time that I spent there watching SportsCenter 24 hours a day. So it's been interesting to watch what Kobe has done since his last game in April of 2016 when he scored 60 points against the Jazz and rode off into the sunset. It was cool to see him back at it last night. And Kobe Bryant with the mic in his hand, it kind of never disappoints. Kobe is really good at that, and I don't know what he'll do in terms of maybe getting into the entertainment business and maybe doing some ESPN work, but Kobe Bryant will always be one of those guys for me. Now, I'm a LeBron James is the best of all time guy, but Kobe Bryant is up there with him too.
Well, not to be dating myself, but I go back to Oscar Robertson and Jerry West and Wilt Chamberlain and
now,
Bill
Russell.
Now, when
you say not to date yourself, that is dating yourself.
Yeah, I grew up with Wilt and Russell and West and, you know, Havlicek and the Celtics winning the NBA every year. So, I feel like I've got a pretty good grip on the all-time players in the NBA. I mean, they're really, unless you count George Mike and both of the great players, pretty much started with Wilt and Oscar and Jerry West and Elgin Baylor and have gone from there. Kobe, to me, is a very polarizing figure. There's people that he's like, you either really liked him or you really didn't. And obviously you liked him. And I'm on the opposite side of the fence. I thought he was a great player, but I always thought maybe too much was made of him. He's not in my top, probably not in my top 7 or 8 all time.
Wow.
I got him in my top 15, but I don't know what it is. I always thought, you know, he was.
Now, what about the difference between number 8 and number 24?
Well, that's.
Did you like 24 a little better?
I don't even know. Like number 8? To be honest with you, I never paid attention to his uniform number. I don't know if 24 was first or if 8 was first. I'm guessing
8 was first.
8 was first and then 24.
He switched to 24. So in this 2006 game where he scored 81 points, he was 24 at that point. So he was probably 8 until like 04.
Why is it Michael and Kobe both had more than one number? I don't understand it because Michael, of course, was 23, but then the diehard basketball fans know he wore 45 for a while. I don't think he ever wore 45 with the Bulls, but he wore 45 when he played with the Wiz. And boy, was that was kind of a bad end to a career. I mean, he should have just, you know, stayed with the Bulls as long as he could. But like I say, Kobe for me, I don't know. Maybe I just always thought he was a bit aloof. You know, and like you say, he handles himself pretty well. But I always found him a little bit aloof. And he's not, like I say, he's not in my, definitely not in my top 5. And he's barely probably in my top 10 because I still think Oscar Robertson and Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell, I think they get way overlooked. I don't think people realize how good those players were. Now they say, well, God, they wouldn't be any good in this era. Well, it's a different era. I mean, if Oscar Robertson, Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell have the training regimen and all the, you know, all the things about, you know, keeping yourself in shape back then, I mean, those guys were riding trains to games. You know, Philadelphia take the train to Boston. You know, the NBA was basically an East Coast league back then. When I started watching the NBA, I think it was the Lakers and basically hardly anybody else out west. And then the Warriors came out finally, but the Lakers were kind of out there on an island by themselves.
Were you watching them when they were like in Minneapolis or wherever?
I did not know.
You weren't watching those days?
I did not watch it, but I did watch the NBA when Philadelphia and Boston, it seemed like, of course, they played like 19 times a year. It seemed like that was the NBA game, and you only could watch the NBA on Sunday. And I love those old rim. They used to have the mics really up there on the rims, and you could hear all that rim action. But now I think they all...
On the hard rims?
On
that,
the hard
didn't
rims.
Break away at all?
Yeah, and they had those old basketballs that looked like they're about 40 years old, really... The really old-time leather balls. Like when I grew up playing.
Did they have the seams on them where you could throw them like a football?
Yeah, with the seams on them. And I grew up playing with the seams on it, so I can kind of relate to that. But, no, Kobe Bryant, great player, but he was no Michael. He was no LeBron, certainly. But I put him up there with Oscar and Jerry West, you know, the face of the NBA. But he's definitely – he's second tier when it comes – my top five, I'm not sure I could even give a top five, but I know Michael would be in my top five. LeBron would be in my top five. I think you got to put Larry Bird in there. And I still, Russell and Wilt to me were
what
just.
What about Magic?
Magic wasn't a great shooter. He was a facilitator, had the great smile, great team player.
The great smile.
But Magic was kind of fringe top 10 for me. I don't have him up with Larry Bird. What Larry Bird did, you know, the guy couldn't jump, he couldn't run, he always had a bad back. But, man, how many big shots did Larry Bird hit in his career? So, anyway, and people don't remember how good Jerry West was. I think Jerry West, people have forgotten how good he is. But, you know, Zeke from Cabin Creek is what I always called him because, you know, he played at West Virginia and Zeke was his nickname. So, you know, you could have a great debate on the greatest players of all time in NBA.
Well, that's what they do on ESPN and FS1 all day, yeah, every single day.
Yeah, that's what
somehow they get to talk about LeBron being greater than MJ or MJ, yeah, being greater than LeBron, yeah, every day.
Yeah, I know, and it's unbelievable how often that Stephen A. Smith, I think, talks about LeBron 365 days a week when he's got his show.
That's a whole lot of days a week.
Or 365 days a year. But, you know, LeBron is on their show every single game, or every day, I should say.
Well, as we transition a little bit away from the Kobe Bryant stuff, KU was the only college basketball team in the area that was in action last night. The big primetime matchup against the University of Omaha, and the Jayhawks finally got out of their funk, of course, against a not very good team, winning 109-64. And one thing that I've talked about on this show a couple of times, Steve, is that I have not been very impressed with KU's depth and their bench. And one of the problems I've seen is that they don't get hardly any bench scoring, but last night they had 26 points off of the bench, and in the last four games combined, they had 27. So that's the type of productivity, and I know it's against Omaha, but that type of scoring from the bench that they have to get in Big 12 play, because their starting five cannot win a Big 12 title on their own, to me.
But, you know, you look at the guys that they bring off the bench. Mitch Lightfoot. Mitch Lightfoot is not
Clay
an offensive
Young.
Guy. Marcus Garrett is no more for his defense, a very good defensive player, good ball handler, but he can't throw, you know, he couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat in the ocean. You know, that's how bad, you know, he shoots it. And hopefully, you know, the word kind of coming out today is that maybe Silvio D'Souza, he's 6'9", he's a five-star recruit. You know, he's kind of up there with the guy from Duke, you know, who actually came out a year early.
Bagley,
he came out. D'Souza was thought to be, you know, top 10 in that class. And Bagley, of course, he came out a year early. Now D'Souza is coming out a half year early. It looks like he may be a go. If they get Billy Preston's, you know, problems resolved, you get both those two big guys. Man, then as a Bukwe could start to play a little more aggressively on defense, because right now he's not really challenging anybody.
All he does is dunk.
Yeah, he's just, you know, as a Bukwe is scared, he's going to get in foul trouble because he knows if he's off the floor, the Jayhawks don't win. And so if they can get D'Souza, although big, what was his name, Jim Sosinski, or whatever his name is, the football player that got in the game.
Oh, the tight end guy?
The tight end.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, he's a physical specimen. How he doesn't play for the KU football team. You know, he's on the team.
He's a better basketball player than
football.
How
does he
player.
Not get any minutes? Though the guy is massive. And you look at some of those, you know, tight ends and defensive guys they had this year, you know, it's a wonder he didn't play more. But, you know, if KU can get some depth, you know, get Preston and D'Souza back, then we're going to start kind of see what they can really do, because they are so passive on the defensive end because of the fouls. And in fact, I'm surprised Bill Self hasn't played more zone this year to stay out of foul trouble. So, you know, Big 12 play starts next week.
The 29th.
Yeah, KU opens with Texas.
They're on the road at Texas. K-State will play at Iowa State to open up Big 12 play. So, couple of tough road games for those two.
Yeah, Iowa State's just not Iowa State, I don't think.
They're not
think
the same, but when you get up to Ames and they start making some threes,
the
Hilton Magic comes out and all the people boo.
Yeah, but there's no
booing all game.
There's no Monte Morris. They don't have, you know, they always have one. They have a couple 6'4 guys that are swingmen that can shoot the three. And
then they have like a 6'8 guy always,
yeah,
that plays as a center,
yeah,
and steps out and hits threes. Who was the big
George
left-handed
Nang
guy?
Was really good.
George Nang. What about the guy that didn't fly on planes? Is that George Nang?
I don't think it was, but DeAndre Burton, you know, he was 6'4".
DeAndre Burton was who I was talking about a minute ago.
Yeah, DeAndre Burton, you know, he was a left-handed guy. He, you know, they just always gave KU trouble. KU always seemed to find a way to beat them, but boy, that Hilton Magic up there, that is a home court advantage. They talk about great home courts. I think you got to put Hilton Coliseum up in the top 10, definitely.
They just boo the whole game.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And
boo!
Yeah, yeah. So
it was Royce White, the guy that wouldn't fly.
Oh, that's
on
right. That's
and
right.
So the coach would, like, drive him to Waco.
Yeah, that's right. Royce White, who never did pan. I thought he could be a good NBA player because he was so versatile. But
you want to take a guess where he plays right now?
I'm saying Lithuania or someplace.
He plays for the London Lightning.
Okay.
In the probably England basketball.
Well, they probably
league.
Take the two-decker to all their games.
No, London. This is Canadian. The National Basketball League of Canada.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe it was in England or something.
Well, that's the London I first thought of.
Okay.
Instead of London, Ontario.
Okay, well, I'm glad.
Just as good.
I'm glad to see he still got a career in spite of not being able to fly. And hey, I'm kind of with him. I don't like to fly either.
See, his treatment is that he uses the snow dogs in Canada instead of having to fly. So it's a win-win there. Okay, so we will transition now into the Bullpups taking on Andover tonight at the Roundhouse. Opening tip for the girls starts at 6. We will take the air at 5:45. We discuss that game next on According to Jim on 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Mead's Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back in on today's According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE, or for those of you listening online worldwide, as we call Steve, Mr. Worldwide here at midkansasonline.com. Okay, as we transition into talking Bullpup basketball tonight, they will take on the Andover Trojans. Both Bullpup teams are 4-1. Both Andover teams are 2-2. It's weird the way that that's worked out all year, is that pretty much every team besides Miege that they've played this year, the boys and the girls have had the same record. So that's the case for Andover. They have played a pretty tough schedule on both sides, already playing Mays, Andale, Eisenhower, and both teams are getting over games against Valley Center from Friday night. So these two teams have been tested, and from everything that I've seen, they are also kind of thin. That the Bullpups, especially on the boys and the girls, I mean, they will both go 12 deep at points. But Andover, on both the boys and girls side, they really only go about 7 deep. So it's two different styles there, and we've talked about that the Andover boys love to run and gun, and they will go down and they will shoot. And maybe that is something that plays to the Bullpup boys' advantage, that they can play at that type of speed too.
Oh, they love an up-and-down game, and if really, this should be a great crowd tonight. All, you know, the kids that are home from college to see their families. What's really else there to do on a Tuesday night? You don't have
Kate. Maybe study for finals.
You don't study.
Smut. I don't see you study, being smutty. A big Steve Sell study guy.
Well, but and you know the sad thing is they do have finals. The kids have finals this week. But hey, it's pajama night. You think the kids are going to miss a chance on, you know, dressing up in their pajamas at a basketball game? So
Steve's going to be wearing his Long John pajama bottoms to the game as well.
I don't think so.
So we'll make sure that he stays seated so that way he doesn't stand up. So anybody sitting behind us, take a look at Steve's pajamas.
Well,
he's got some flannels.
It should be a great night of basketball. The Bullpup girls are playing an Andover team that has got a three-pronged attack. They've got three girls that can really shoot it. A couple of them really shoot the three from way out, is from what Coach Strathman has said. One player averages about 17. They got two that average 11 apiece. You know, they're not a bad team. The boys' game, this is going to be a team. This is a wild team that we're playing. They shoot the ball from anywhere. If there was a shot clock, it'd never have a chance to go off. They get a shot up in about 15 or 20 seconds. And, boy, you get Ben Pyle and Mason Alexander, Jake Alexander, Diggs, Labertu, those guys in the open court in an up-and-down game. Bullpups could put a ton of points on the board tonight, and it'd be nice if we actually could play a full 32-minute game with clock stoppages, because I'd like to see how many points this McPherson team can put up if they didn't have to have running clock, because almost every game, it seems, three of the five games, I believe, have been in running clock so far, and of course the Derby game wasn't, the Miege game wasn't, but this is a Bullpup team. Right now it's firing on all cylinders, and the girls are pretty close to all cylinders. The girls are starting to get more people involved in the offense. Still, they got a couple players still looking to break out. I still think Lakin Sheafreak is going to be a breakout player. Emma Ruddle, Andrea Sweat, they're all capable of getting 10 to 15 points in a game. So it's, you know, not just having to stand and watch Taylor score 25 every game, though she can do it almost in her sleep. But it's going to be a couple of great games tonight at the Roundhouse. I'd like to see big crowd out there. Of course, those that can't make it, listen to us, and we'll try to keep things entertained and paint you a picture in your mind, get a visual of what's going on in the game through our melodious tones.
Yeah, sometimes I'm afraid that people are seeing the world through my eyes. That scares me sometimes. Well, this morning I was doing some work and looking at some numbers and the all-time records and all that stuff, and I know that I'm going to update it a little bit more as we have some time off in between games, but I was looking into Taylor Robertson and Ben Pyle because we have been talking about that both of them will likely take over the all-time leading scorers. Ben Pyle has some work to do. It's not like he can just cruise into it. Now, Taylor could score probably 3 points per game for the rest of the year and get to it. So currently, Taylor is at 1,481 points, which is still number three on the all-time girls scoring, but she is approaching Caitlin Lecker.
Oh, okay.
So she is number two.
That's right. Caitlin Lecker came up just short to Ashley Sweat.
And I think that Taylor is about 100 points behind. So as you look at what Taylor can do, it might be just under 100. So we're kind of projecting that she will take over the all-time scoring record before the tournament will happen, probably sometime around there. Now, Ben at this point, he came into the season at just over 1,000 points. Now he is at 1,139, which is number eight. He will have to do some work, because I think he is still about 350 points shy, but he's scoring at this point 24 points per game. So barring an injury, barring missing a game or two for some reason, he should get there by about the end of the regular season or sub-state.
And I'm trying to think, I don't remember how many Christian Olsaker scored. He's the all-time leader.
Well, Ben was 494 shy of his record at 1,019 going into the year, so about 1,500.
Okay.
So he should get close.
So both Ashley Sweat and Christian Olsaker were around the 1500s in that area. I remember Ashley Sweat was like 1536 because, you know, she broke Megan Spencer's record that had stood for a long time. Then Caitlin Lecker put a pretty good challenge on, came up just short, you know. But you have to remember the bullpup teams of Ben and Taylor, they've been pretty balanced. If they had been, you know, if they'd been the player that really had the score or the Bullpups lose, there's no telling how many points. If they, you know, if they really ran their offense just to feature, you know, those two, there's no telling how many points they would have in their career. Because, I mean, Ben Pyle and Taylor don't take a lot of shots when you really look at the big picture. You never see them over 20 field goal attempts in a game. And players that really score in heavy volume, they take 25 to 30 shots a game. The way Taylor Robertson shoots it, how many points in a game do you think she'd score if she took 30 shots in a game? Holy cow.
Well, you made a point there that made me think of something. So I'm sure that they're at Buehler or maybe at Winfield or a place that is not as traditionally strong with basketball, I'm sure that there are people that have a higher scoring record. And part of that is because they have the opportunity to play. If they get a really good player in, they're playing at a younger age, plus, like what you're talking about, they might have to carry more of the load and take more shots. But at a place like McPherson, not only do you rarely see a freshman step in and contribute and score the amount of points that Ben Pyle would have scored as a freshman in order to help him keep
going. 6 points a game as a freshman.
I've got his number here. Let me see. 81 points as a freshman.
Yeah, and Taylor probably averaged, she was around, I want to say about 15 maybe.
She scored 339 points as a freshman.
And then you have to remember, too, how many games do they lose by not playing in the fourth quarter, or how many points do they lose? They don't play in the fourth quarter, or they have a running clock. I mean, basically, they do theirs a lot in three quarters of play because there's a lot of games for both the boys and girls that they're decided in the third quarter and the benches are empty in the fourth quarter.
So at some smaller schools, it might be easier for somebody who's just a good shooter and they're tall enough as a freshman to come in and play and them not be very good as a team, but this person put up a lot of points. The other thing is, like you talked about, they're balanced. And so it's not like Ben or Taylor could just go out, shoot 40 times a game, get their points, and move on and lose by 60. It's a different dynamic here, and that's why some of these numbers are so impressive, that at the same time, those two have come in and really been two of the best of all time.
Well, you look at the boys, Mason Alexander could probably average 20, so could Jake Alexander if they were the, you know, the number one option on the team. But as it is, I think Ben's scoring, what you said, 23, 24.
He's at 24.
Mason's about 17.
16.6.
And Jake is, what, 13 or 14?
13.6.
Okay. So, I mean, if those guys were the number one option, they'd easily be over 20 points a game. But it's very rare when you've got a team with three guys that average at least 14 points a game, and especially since those guys basically aren't playing in the fourth quarter. They're doing all their damage in three quarters.
So the Bullpups will take on Andover tonight. 4-1 McPherson teams against 2-2 Andover teams. We will take the air at 5:45 as the girls will tip at 6 and the boys will tip probably around 7:30. Okay, we wrap up the show on the other side of the break. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Mead's Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com. And remember that if you missed this show, you've missed any of the previous 53 shows. You can go find it on podcast at soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. Steve, the only disappointing thing about having to go and cover the Bullpups tonight is that I was really wanting to see, and hopefully I'll get to see the end of it, the really fun bowl game tonight. And that is Florida Atlantic taking on Akron. Now, on the surface, this might not sound like a very fun game to some people.
Is that Lane Kiffin?
It would be Mr. Lane Kiffin.
Oh, you know he's going to rack up a bunch of points.
The Florida Atlantic Owls playing at home. Now, do you know what city Florida Atlantic is in?
Kissimmee.
No, that's closer to Orlando. They are in Boca Raton.
Okay. And hey, I had a fraternity brother. It was from Boca Raton.
For some reason, people in this area of the country like to say Boca Raton, which that's not what it is. And sometimes they'll say even like Raton. But I consider myself to be a Floridian at points because I lived there for almost 4 months a couple of summers ago. I think I've hinted at that before. And Florida is like the weirdest place ever when it comes to pronouncing things. So it's Boca Raton. And Florida has all of this Spanish influence. And they've got all these cities that look like they're Spanish. And you go, okay, well, I'll just pronounce them like if they were Spanish. And then they throw weird things at you. I don't know if people understand how weird Florida is. And you always hear the stories about weird things happening to people in Florida. But Florida is like the weirdest state ever. And my theory...
No income tax.
It's the humidity there.
Oh, yeah.
That people are just so hot... And they're so drained and they're so dehydrated that they just start doing weird things, whether it's the bath salts or whatever. It's a weird place.
I played a week of golf down there, and I mean, I like suffocated from the humidity.
It's brutal.
Yeah, and we were playing 36 holes a day, and I mean, I think I was down to like 25 pounds by the time I got back on the plane. I mean, I was a skeleton, so, and I, you know, I don't have much weight to begin with, so. I mean, I did some heavy hydrated myself and ate, but boy, the humidity in Florida, it was just brutal down there. But boy, what great golf courses they have.
Well, the funny thing about Florida when it comes to golf is that I was there and really pretty open in the late mornings and early afternoons most days. And so I would be going, okay, I want to go play some golf. And I'd go, how about noon? And my friends would go, yeah, that sounds good. And you look it up on Golf Now or one of those websites, and they're like, yeah, $8 to play 18 holes. And I'm like, this is phenomenal. But then you get out there, and it's 12:30, and it's 98 degrees
and then
with 78% humidity.
And then it starts raining. It rains every day, it seems
Yeah.
in Florida. But no, I played some unbelievable golf courses. I played Golden Ocala, which was an
Ocala, what a place.
That was an LPGA stop. I played Southern Dunes, and the thing was nothing but sand traps, and I think I found most of them during my round. But I think I played like 8 golf courses down there. And, boy, I tell you, like I say, thank goodness you're on the cart, because that's the only breeze you got is when you drove on the golf cart. But Florida, I don't think it's a place I would probably – even though I love the warmth, it's probably not a place I – because I'm not a big fan of humidity.
Yeah, humidity is rough. I was there for almost 4 months, and it seriously took me like 7 weeks to get hydrated. And I would sit there and drink water all day, and then I would come back at night and just be like, oh, I'm just gassed. And Florida's a weird place. But anyway, the Boca Raton Bowl tonight, Florida Atlantic against Akron. It starts at 7, so hopefully I'll be able to see the end.
Well, I'm not going to – excuse me. I'm not going to rush home for it. I got to post Bullpup basketball stories because the public demands it. I've got people that tell
me. That's true.
They say, I want that story posted in about 45 minutes, so get down there and post
that. That's why you had to run out of there the other night.
I did. I ran out on Coach Kinnaman's interview. I guess he busted me for some reason.
Yeah, he might have. I'll let you look it up
if
you
want to
see.
It doesn't matter what he says. it goes in one ear and out the other anyway. So, but no, the
Florida Atlantic's a good team.
Bullpup fans really like reading about their Bullpups, and
yeah,
I've had a lot of people thank us for, you know, posting the stories in a timely fashion. You know, that night, especially home games, I can generally get the home game stories up by about 10:15, 10:30, because often I sit there during the halftime of the boys' game and I'm doing my girls' story. You got Coach Stratman on, then I take the tape recorder and listen to the quotes, plug them in. Story's done. So that's kind of how I do things. And big area games tonight, too.
That's about to talk about.
Eagle Dome.
The Eagle Dome.
Got to be at the Eagle Dome tonight. If you don't go to the Roundhouse, go to the Eagle Dome. Little River Boys in Elyria, that'll be a Donnybrook.
The Elyria people are really digging the basketball right now. We've had tons of emails of people saying, hey, can you send me the audio from the coaches show for the Elyria coaches? I mean, the Elyria faithful, they're loving this success.
Yeah, Zach Goodrich, his team had a 46-1 run the other night after they were down 9. And, you know, Zach and Greg Fields do a great job down there at Elyria. This is the year Elyria has been pointing to for the last 3 years, because they had a great freshman class. That freshman class is now seniors, and then they've added a couple juniors to the mix that are really good. I'm real curious to see how that game goes tonight. Of course, Little River, they have one of the best freshmen around in Jaden Garrison. He's already had 2 games of 25 points or more. So that should be a great game down there tonight down at the Eagle Dome.
What about the other area games tonight?
I don't have my list in front of me, but I'm sure.
Does Heston play?
Heston does not play. I do know they don't play.
What about Smokey?
Smokey, I want to say. I know Mound Ridge has Sterling because Vance was already nervous because Sterling's picked to win the league. I can't remember who Smokey plays. I do know, but they do play. I think Heston's about the only one that doesn't play tonight. I think everybody else is in action tonight.
Okay. Well, that should be fun. The Bullpups tonight against Andover. We haven't really talked about it on the show today that the Bullpup boys are looking for sweet revenge over Andover. Now, the Trojans from a year ago on the boys' side have lost 9 seniors, so pretty much an entirely new group, but I don't think that will take away from
they've
the
revenge
that the
Bullpup boys
want.
They've got a couple really nice players, though. Yeah,
they've got a freshman, too.
Yeah, so it'll be high-scoring games. And I mean, what else are you going to do tonight? Get out and watch some
Bullpup. Maybe people are watching that Boca Raton
Bowl. Yeah, get out and watch some Bullpup basketball. Support the Bullpups. Take a look at the kids in their pajamas. It's pajama night at the Roundhouse. They always have a theme. Let's get that thing packed tonight.
I want to see the Steve Sell pajama picked. So if you wear some pajamas to the game, maybe not even to there, but when you get there, and you put on somebody's flannel pants – and we need to get Kendall Shaw to take a picture of you.
It's not a pretty sight. It's just not a pretty sight.
Because your Sell on Sports picture, I think it's been the same one for a while. We need to get a picture of you in pajama flannel bottoms your new Sell on Sports
picture. I keep
pick.
The same picture because I've aged considerably in the last – that picture's probably about 4 years old. And I want people to say, God, he's like Dick Clark. He never ages. But trust me, that picture hides all the wrinkles and you know, the gobbler here down here in the neck.
I hope not too many people are comparing you to Dick Clark.
And the
That's not a good thing.
And the hair's a little grayer, so, yeah. But no,
Steve Sells, New Year's Rockin' Eve. All right, well, that'll wrap up our show for today. We will see you tonight at the Roundhouse as the Bullpups take on Andover. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Meade Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 1230 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.